Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are on season one, episode 7 of The Crown, called, forgive me for my ill use of Latin, Scientia Potentia Est. Close yes. enough.
Close enough. Exactly.
You can try at home.
Did you look at the translation?
No.
No?
All what right, is it?
I'll have to look up the
Potential Est.
Something like that.
The science of potential. I don't know. Potential of science?
I don't know.
You probably should have looked this up beforehand.
Right. And so we are is knowledge is power.
I was close enough.
Close enough. There we go. Knowledge is power, which it certainly is. And of course, in this context, it now makes much more sense. I would have felt better had I had the knowledge and power to actually put those two things together with this episode at the time, but now I do.
What do you mean? Like figure out the title?
Right, because it does fit this episode.
It does. It's a lot of Latin, so I was like, that fits.
Well, of course, now I'm feeling stupid, but it's fine.
Don't worry, you're not the only one in this episode who's stupid.
Yeah, well.
Mom, did you ever take Latin?
I did not.
Then you don't have to feel stupid. I didn't take Latin, and I'm okay with not knowing that that was knowledge.
My parents both took Latin, so, you know.
Okay. You did.
I did not. So, this episode obviously is, and again, I'm excited to get into it because it kind of shows Elizabeth growing into being a queen and what that means to her and how she's going to, you know, manifest that. But I also, we have our regular caveats, and they are that there may be cursing.
Maybe. Probably.
It could happen.
Probably. Especially for this episode. Yes, there probably will be.
Ooh, interesting.
What happens in this episode?
there's some stuff. And there is likely to be spoilers.
There definitely will be spoilers for this episode, but we'll try to keep it to a minimum.
Spoilers for this episode, for sure. But I mean, spoilers for other episodes and seasons and whatever of The Crown. And also, we are having drinks. What is your drink of choice today?
It's a day old caramel frappe from McDonald's.
That sounds disgusting.
Listen, I do not have coffee all that often. And when I do, it's in a frappuccino or a frappe form. I was trying to get lunch yesterday. It was too early. So I got a caramel frappuccino because I felt like I had to get something. And so that powered some study. And it's also finals week. So don't even get me started. But it's just like, yeah, it's what I had on hand. And it's what I had this morning. So here we are.
Your buzzing for this buzz binging episode is caffeine. Is that what you're trying to say?
Okay.
All right. Well,
what are you having?
I'm having a quintessential English drink, a gin and tonic.
I thought you were going to say tea.
No.
About the table to turn.
No, gin and tonic, which, you know, I'm discovering as we go along that I'm not really a gin drinker.
Yeah, I knew that before. I don't know why you're putting yourself through gin and tonics. You could just do it like a twist on gin and tonic.
Maybe it is a lack of familiarity. Like, I haven't given it enough
of a try. Maybe you just don't like it.
Maybe I just don't. So, but I don't hate it. It's not like tequila straight or anything. It's not like that. And I'm not saying that I won't occasionally drink small amounts of tequila, but you know, it's the kind of thing that I have
to. And usually mixed in a margarita.
Right. And even then it's kind of like, yikes. But the gin and tonic, it's bracing, shall we say. And I think I even put a little lime in here and it's still kind of, wow. And that's a me thing, and I get it. And But it is very, very English. And there is something very, very English about this episode. And I think that this is going to be an appropriate pairing for this.
Okay.
All right. So do you have the synopsis pulled up?
I do. Okay, here it is. As the Soviets test the H-bomb, both Churchill and Eden have major health crises. Angry about her inadequate education, Elizabeth hires a tutor.
All of that. So the episode itself actually opens with in 1940, mm-hmm. and you get a young Elizabeth, and it is mid, early part of World War II.
Yeah.
And young Elizabeth is getting French lessons with Margaret at Windsor Castle.
And etiquette lessons and such.
Right. Oh yeah, it's fascinating because you hear about all these weird fucked up rules that you have in British society, and like how you sit at a dinner table and who eats first. And
yeah, usually that's like in Princess Diaries when it's like almost as a joke, but honestly they take it really seriously, which honestly makes Princess Diaries a little bit more accurate.
Well, right, but I was not really comparing this to Princess Diaries, but good. I'm glad that some of your Disney upbringing has come in useful. But I was thinking more like Downton Abbey, like you have to like talk with people to your right, and then like
you have to turn
the turn, right? And they're discussing all of it in this lovely French that, of course, I don't speak, but as I am with many languages, right? With many languages, I can pick up stuff, and I was picking up parts of it.
I picked up me.
Right. And there's a big discussion about, Elizabeth has to take the first bite because, the sovereign takes the first bite, or you can't eat before the sovereign, and blah, blah, blah. Those kinds of things. It's fascinating. So,
and then she has to go to her, I guess her governess or something is taking her to Eton College and to get her lessons about the Constitution from the vice provost. You have this shot where she's in blue, and I think this blue coat or something. It's very Schindler's List, but blue.
It is.
And
it is.
Everyone else is like in their uniforms at Eton, and it's all boys, and they're like walking around and they're talking and all that stuff. And it's just, she feels very out of place there. And then she's taking this basic constitution and politics course from the vice provost. And he emphasizes that there must be trust between the crown and the government, the dignified and the efficient that are a part of the Constitution. There must be trust. And she asks if he teaches anybody else this, like this. And he's just like, oh, no, just you. This is what I share with like the other students. And then she's handed this like math test. And she's just like, I have no idea what any of this is. And she's just like, well, why do I need to learn this? And he's just like, no, it'd be undignified. And I'm like,
I know. Okay. And that to me is just so telling. And there are echoes of it later when they show her adult life. And again, I'm guessing that some of this is presumed on the part of the writers, but some of it I think is probably well documented.
I feel like, yeah, that's probably well documented as far as, well, at the very least, she did get constitution lessons, which honestly, that's not surprising to me. And also etiquette lessons, that's not surprising to me. French lessons, not surprising. But maybe something they probably left out is maybe they're emphasizing the fact that she had like no education at all. Other than that, I feel like that might be a bit of a stretch, but.
But I think that concept for what is the proper education for an English lady, governesses and things like that, being very limited, it lasts for a long time and way later than you would expect. Like you hear Margaret, the character, complain about it too. Just that, they're made useless. It's echoes of Lady Mary. She's like, I have one function, it's to get married. And everything else is just waiting to get married.
Yeah.
So that I can have a life. And I think that level of education, it's one thing at the turn of the century, not this most recent century, but the one before. Mm-hmm. It was one thing
in the 1940s. especially after prohibition in the 20s and all of that, like new age stuff and the industrial revolution, that kind of thing. It's like a whole new avenue of stuff.
One, it makes you think too about you know, the vote. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
You know, the vote being something that women didn't get in England for an extraordinarily long period of time.
Did they get it after in the,
the US? I will double check, but you know, it was.
That's brought up in Downton Abbey, and it was like, I think in maybe the 18 or 19 or something like that, that they bring up stuff about Sybil going to rallies about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether or not that's actually like talking about, oh, they did get the vote or not. I'm not sure. But you're looking it up now, so that should clear that up.
So yeah, it was passed in 1918.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, that's good timing. Good timing. Mm. Well done.
Thank you. I don't know how I knew that.
Right. Well, and so
I figured it out because of like, yeah, never mind. We're not
in the US. In the US it was 1920, it was ratified.
Yeah, it was 1920 for US. So it was right. So US was after, but I'm sure there were rumblings about stuff in the US, especially because of suffragettes and such. So that probably like came over and people heard about it and they were like, okay, well, we should do that too.
Yeah.
Or maybe the opposite.
I'm sure I think the fight was going on in both places way, way before what we're seeing in these shows and things like that. But again, it is rather fascinating to me that kind of, you know, women not needing an education thing was still true for someone who is going to be the monarch.
Yeah, it's really, and she brings 40. It up later. So we'll probably talk about when she brings it up in just a minute. But yeah, anyway, back to the present. The Russians are testing the hydrogen bomb, or the H bomb. And and then you see the Queen Mother and Elizabeth are having tea. And the Queen Mother sees, I love this part. The Queen Mother sees that Albert Einstein, and she clarifies, the scientist, has changed his mind about something. And Elizabeth says, what has he changed his mind about? And she's like, that's less clear to me, but everyone's making a tremendous fuss about it.
Well, right. And again, you know, her mother is basically watching like goofy, like, stupid shows on TV.
I feel like that's a little bit far.
I don't want that to be accurate, but
Either way, like, you can watch TV shows and still be smart, like, but I think that them emphasizing it you can emphasize it. I think the emphasis on it is a little bit unfair. I think that making her seem, the Queen Mother, seem so dumb, or like it just, oh, look at her, she's watching puppet shows or something on TV. That's why are you like, are you saying, oh, well, she's dumb, so she just like didn't think, oh yeah, no, she doesn't need that education. But she explains it later and it makes a little bit more sense, but it's kind of like, I hate the way they're painting her in this episode. It seems very unfair. And I feel like it's kind of, obviously, like, there's a certain element of taking liberties with how they're portraying certain people, but I never thought they would portray like the Queen Mother as stupid in this like really demeaning way. I think it's really, I don't like it either.
I don't like it either. It's disrespectful.
I don't think it's fair. I think it's very disrespectful. I don't really like how they portrayed her in this episode. And then her like entire personality in the next episode. Like she oh, happy go lucky or whatever. And then she changes and it's like, okay, this seems more accurate. So I don't know why they decided this one episode to make her to like, I know they wanted like a juxtaposition, but it's kind of like, why are you trying to make her look stupid?
Well, and I think that what among the things that happen over the next few episodes while they're kind of exploring this is, you know, they're talking about schooling. They aren't talking about actual education though, right? Mm. And I think that we're going to see this as the episode continues, that, you know, the queen was given it's almost like she's one of the people. She understands how to interact with people in a way that you can't learn from a book. So it is interesting to see that, you know, yes, they kind of overemphasize like, oh, you're not book smart, so you must be like dumb, you know what I mean? And
well, at least that's how Elizabeth feels. But Elizabeth asks if she should have learned the basic subjects, and she feels like she doesn't know anything. Like she dreads being alone with politicians when they're talking to her about stuff that she doesn't completely understand. And she feels like she's being talked down to, not necessarily that it's their fault that they feel that they're talking down to her, but she feels like she's not on equal footing with them. And she doesn't like having to just change the subject to horses or the weather every single time she has a conversation with them, because that's what she knows.
Right. And, you know, and she doesn't have the ability to, you know, have an insightful conversation about these other things, or she doesn't feel that she does, at least according to this episode. So, you know, the Queen Mother is kind of like, she's just kind of blows it off.
Right.
Elizabeth has to go, and you know, she's got to go to a meeting with Churchill. And as she's walking, Tommy Lascelles is with her. And he's like, look, I'm going to be retiring, and I think you're ready for this transition and blah, blah, blah. We're going to be.
I think he said something along the lines of how he has been there for like 33 years or probably
40. I don't know, 40.
40? Yeah. He's been there forever.
Right. I mean, you talk about institutional knowledge. He is unquestionably the guy.
And that's why she stuck with Tommy.
Well, right. And you know, there is a lot to that. He is the institution. That's why he has consistently felt it is appropriate for him to say things like no to the queen, because she says, hey, I want Martin to be your replacement.
Okay, so there's a whole hierarchy of who's going to succeed Tommy, and he has basically chosen two deputies, a senior and a junior. Martin is the junior, and so he is, like how Elizabeth puts it, is the heir and the spare. In this mm-hmm. situation, Martin is the spare and not the heir. The heir is Michael Aideen, or
yeah, Aideen, something like that. Something.
It's spelled weirdly, so I don't know. But Michael Aideen is the senior, and she wants Martin to be the senior. And also randomly, I put cute corgis as a note because the corgis have arrived. I think this is the first time we've seen the corgis.
Yeah, they do. They come up a couple of times, but yeah, I agree with you. And they are cute. Not that I want to have a corgi, sorry.
Either way, so she basically says, I want Martin. And he's like, all right, it's your right to want things. And so he
But my answer is no.
He doesn't say no. He just says, okay, that's your decision. And then walks away. That comes up later because he does not specifically say no.
So then she meets with Churchill, and mm-hmm. Churchill explains that they're having a crisis with Russia because of their new nuclear technology. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they have, it's not just technology, it's the bomb. And they are, you know, this is a crisis. He wants to lead the issue over the US mm-hmm. because he feels like Eisenhower is kind of a warmonger. And so
it'll be a little bit too aggressive. It'll spark stuff. It will be a disaster.
Right. And he's like, well, for obvious reasons. And Elizabeth's like, well, remind me of the obvious reasons, because she doesn't know the context and the history. And of course, you know, she was not aware of all of the things that occurred when World War II ended. They involved the Russians, and obviously she's got to be, I would hope, at least just basically aware that, you know, we've got a divided Germany, you know, there's this whole Eastern Bloc thing. I would assume she knows those things. As far as the subtleties of how that diplomacy occurred and how Russia would or would not be handled and to whom they would respond favorably, she's not going to know that. Churchill obviously has his opinion on it, and he may be correct that he's like the guy.
Of course he's gonna think he's the guy, but I mean
the guy about it. Well,
basically he has sent the foreign secretary to talk to the U.S. State Department, who which the foreign secretary is Antony Eden, And apparently Anthony Eden is sick and he has gallbladder problems. And
he's shooting up on the freaking airplane.
Yeah, no, we see him in the airplane going to the US and he has this whole reaction or something. And he has to shoot himself with morphine or something to deal with it and to counteract it. Anyway, then we go to Elizabeth.
He's sick. And Churchill, when she's having the conversation with Churchill, Elizabeth even says to Churchill, she's like, look, Anthony Eden, is he even like healthy enough to go? I need healthy advising, healthy people to handle this crisis situation. I'm not convinced that you guys are healthy. And then I love that
the whole beginning of the season was, oh, Anthony Eden is the new young guy. And then it's just like, no, he's not.
That's why
I made such a fuss about, oh yeah, they make him seem, oh, this is the young, hip guy. It's like, no, he's not, he's gonna die. Jesus, I don't know why, that was a whole thing in season one. Anyway, then Elizabeth talks to Martin and basically asks him to be her private secretary. And he does say yes, even though he knows the whole order of things and does remind her of it. And she's like, all right, well, that's that. And it's like, okay. Then she asks him to get her a tutor for general education. Then we go over to Anthony Eden, who needs corrective surgery in Boston, and basically tells Winston that on an unsecure line, everyone's listening in. And
this is kind of cute because he knows.
He basically wants to be reminded that Winston depends on him and forces Winston to admit it and all the reasons why he depends on him over the phone so everyone can hear. And he's aware of everyone hearing, which is funny. And basically Winston doesn't want him to have the surgery in Boston, but he's like, it's my life, Winston. I'm going to get the surgery. Good call. And then he hangs up and Winston just has to deal with it. And then Winston has a stroke.
Right. I mean, you see him have this stroke and it's kind of crazy. Meanwhile, the tutor that has been selected for the queen shows up at Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, before we get there, you see him in the car first, so you can go ahead.
Right. He has a flask and he has to basically take a shot before he goes in there.
That doesn't really come up at any other point. So I think it's mostly just for nerves.
I guess. But he asks if he meets with the queen.
This is the part I wanted to talk about. Elizabeth is reading the paper and basically is making notes of things she doesn't understand. And I think that's a really smart thing to do because she should know what's going on in the news. And if she doesn't understand that, how is she going to speak on that? And so I think that was really smart of her to do.
Right. No, I mean, I think what we see about her and the way it's portrayed is that she is a diligent worker, right? She is going to do the work to learn what needs to be done. She has an understanding. She goes about hey, I need to do this. I'm going to take action and make it happen, which, I don't know why everyone kind of discounts her, but she's doing what needs to be done. But she meets with the tutor and he says that he asked her, well, all right, so just as a baseline, what kind of school certificates do you have? And she's looking at
she does admit to him that she feels like she's at a disadvantage, and she does well. Claire Foy does really well, the nervous tics, she's clutching her pearls and wringing her hands and she's feels very uncomfortable. But he does ask how far she got in school, and she doesn't have any school certificate to speak of. And she's just like, okay, well, all right. And then she goes to visit the Queen Mother and confronts her about not receiving a proper education. This is the second time we see the Queen Mother just watching television and it being a dumb program or something. And I still think
It's basically slapstick comedy stuff that she's watching. And it may be that that's what she finds entertaining. It makes her look lowbrow. Right.
And it's stupid. Right. And I don't like that they did that. Regardless if it's anywhere near true or not, it's still disrespectful. And I don't think that that's a fair way to portray her. Anyway,
they have a fight, though. I mean, Elizabeth and her mother fight about her education. And Yeah, and the queen mother takes it and she kind of lashes out at Elizabeth. She's kind of like, are you getting on me about parenting? Because, you know, if we're going to do that, we need to talk about you, you know, because, and that's how people fight, right? It's like, well, we're not going to talk about me. We're going to talk about your flaws.
But before they even do that, we find out that the lessons on the Constitution were more than what Margaret got. Apparently Margaret didn't get any of those lessons. And so Margaret knows less and that's supposed to make her feel any better. And then also basically she says that she feels let down by her mother and that her mother does mention not to throw stones and stuff. And basically the queen mother mentions that no one advised her and the king to push Elizabeth harder. And she tells her to accept her limitations.
Right. Because again, it is the disparaging, like they act like Elizabeth is not intelligent. They act like she's not capable of more. You didn't need to know that, honey, you would have felt bad. And nobody wants a monarch that's like a really knowledgeable person.
I think that their idea was that like they were going to have someone who like have her focus more, just know what to focus on, because if she like studied general education, the Constitution lessons would just be like a side thing. And I feel like one of their ideas was that she would focus more on the Constitution, which is what she's being groomed for and what she's been preparing for. I'm not saying I condone any of this. I think she should have received a full education. It's just, I think that's probably what they were advised to do because of that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the queen mother clearly comes across as being hurt, but she also, and we hear her say this a number of times as a character, and I have no idea again if it's true or not. But you know, she basically acts like Elizabeth was nothing special kind of thing. Like, oh, you're special only because of being firstborn, not because of your ability. And again, Elizabeth being, as characterized at least, being the person that she is like, well, I'm going to work really hard to overcome these presumptions of yours. And we see that, like, fine, I'll do the work. I will learn it now. You know, you didn't do it for me. I'm going to take care of it myself. So then we switch to Martin, who drives his wife over to where the private secretary's house is. I guess this, again, it's an institutional thing. And they're talking about, oh, how great it would be to live there and blah, blah, blah. And his wife's like, hey, can you trim that tree in front of the windows and all that stuff? And he hasn't moved
in. Dumb.
It is so dumb, but for whatever stupid fucking reason, and you know, I know we love the actor because he played Bertie and blah, 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 and he's great, but what kind of stupid fuck shit is this that
he asks about it? And I'm like, why?
He has it done.
Basically, he does tell his wife, oh, it's not official yet. We shouldn't jump the gun. And she's like, well, ask about it. And he's just like, fine, I can't ask about it. I'm like, don't do that yet. You know this isn't official and you know this will just cause problems. And also, first of all, Tommy has not talked to you about this. Only the queen has. And yes, it's her final decision, but Tommy, it's Tommy's position and it's his house.
It's Tommy's house. Tommy is living there.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Then we go over to the prime minister, who has had a quote minor stroke and doesn't want
to
tell
such a thing, just so that you know.
I'm aware that there are such a things, but obviously he doesn't want anyone to know, especially the queen, which is so stupid. And
it's horrible. Lord Salisbury, who's there, and he's like, well, wait, no, and they argue with him. I mean, they mm-hmm. and his secretary, they're like, look, we need to tell her. And he's like, no, 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 no. You know, we can't have her knowing that, you know, I'm out of commission and Antonine's out of commission. You know, we've got to have somebody, blah, blah, blah.
Basically, and the palace note has been told that he has a cold and he will allow them to extend it to the flu. And it's like, no. Basically, Winston can't go to Eisenhower and their meeting, so they need Eisenhower to come to England. And so Tommy's on the phone about the Eisenhower visit and sees his gardeners checking out the tree in his yard and is very confused. And then Tommy talks to Elizabeth about inviting President Eisenhower to the palace for a state banquet. Elizabeth wanted to go to Sandringham, but it would be postponed, and she allows it to happen and all that stuff. And she writes a get better card to the PM, to the prime minister. Then right. Michael Adeen approaches Tommy about being replaced by Martin. He heard it through the grapevine.
I don't like him. And you know, I don't know if we are meant by this characterization to not like him, but I don't like, he's very kind of whiny and.
Well, okay. Put yourself in.
Entitled. Yeah.
I like Martin, but. To be fair, it has been constantly told to Michael that he is going to be the next private secretary. It has been made official by the fact that he's the senior deputy. He's been constantly told, all right, you're next. And imagine that you are going to instead be put under someone who's only been there for 3 years.
Right. And no, I'd be angry too.
I mean, have the same experience you do. I feel sympathy and empathy for him. I don't find him as whiny as you do. I can see where he's coming from. I do like Martin, right. But still.
Right. Now, what I think it's the tone, not the content. And I think it's some of it has to do with the actor. I think the actor, I might come to that later, but the actor, the way he spins this, I don't feel sympathy for the actor in this context.
Yeah, I will say the specific way, so whatever. But
they have this montage of the palace staff preparing for this banquet, the state banquet. And it's like it puts Carson to shame at Downton Abbey. I mean, the scale on which they are putting this on is unbelievable. And you don't really think about, you know, all that it takes to do something like this, to send out the invitations and make sure everything's perfect and decide what china and all those things. And there's such a bureaucracy of staff involved in it too. Like you got the person who's in, you know, head of the footmen who handle silverware, you know, those kinds of things. It's just, there's just so much stuff involved in this state dinner. And so in the midst of all of this, you know, Tommy and Martin are talking and he's like, oh, by the way, and he dresses him down.
Martin. Yeah, down he basically talks about how things should be done. And then we go to see, and we see Elizabeth watching her children play with the guards. And she's smiling like, I'm such a good mother. I'm not playing with them, but they are. But I think that's probably the point of what that shot was supposed to be. The tutor comes in and she asks for his help on studying up on President Eisenhower and try to do all that. He says, give him a day and to do research and he'll get back to her.
Oh, hang on. But the subjects, and I find this really interesting, the subject matter that they talk about, because, you know, she's like, I want information. Like, what's he interested in? He's like, well, his biggest thing is the military industrial complex and its threat to democracy. And she's looking at him like, I don't
know. Easier.
Right. And then, golf. Well, how about golf? No. How about oil paintings? Like, don't they all do oil painting? And she's like doing the big eye roll. But as the tutor is leaving, and he's like, give me a day. As he's leaving, she talks to him about, you know, his betting, like, you know, don't bet on it. It's a joke. And he's like, well, I've had good luck at the tracks lately. And so they start talking about the horses, and she is incredibly knowledgeable about that.
Yeah, but also she asked before that, she asks about how Eisenhower was baptized as a Presbyterian, and her face when she says Presbyterian, she's like, ugh. and hey, she's like, well, do you think they dunked him? Then they talk about horses and the conversation flows really well.
Yeah.
And she's clearly very knowledgeable about that. But again, she basically talks about how she, like, even though she knows she has knowledge on that matter, it basically tells him that she has the capacity to learn a lot. And right. So Then we see Winston's wife reading the queen's note to him, and she chastises him for there not being a fit leader at the time. And then he
telling the queen. I mean, she is livid. She's like, wait a minute, this note reads like she doesn't know. And he's like, well, she doesn't, you know. And
because it says like temporary illness or something. It's like temporary. Basically, Eisenhower has agreed to the banquet and he gets very excited and has another stroke. Winston does. Then we see Elizabeth is doing research on Eisenhower, and then we go back to Downing Street, and they still won't tell the queen, and I have in parentheses, why? They're too deep now. And I'm like, no, you should tell her. And basically they have to postpone with Eisenhower.
It's overt at this point. And, you know, but they're like, oh shit, we've got to call off this dinner because Winston can't even do that.
Yeah. And Martin comes in and tells Elizabeth that Eisenhower won't come to the banquet anymore because a quote political crisis, and the prime minister will miss another audience. And she's very relieved that she doesn't have to do stuff like that, like do prep work. But Martin also declines the private secretary job and thinks that Michael deserves it. And Elizabeth's like, that's BS. And she's like, you talked to Tommy about this, didn't you? And then she's upset and confronts Tommy about it. She tells Tommy that she would prefer Martin, but Tommy thinks it would be a mistake because Martin has too much individuality. And it doesn't have enough experience.
Well, I don't think it's so much that Martin has too much individuality. It is that Elizabeth not following protocol exhibits too much individuality in her. And he talks about, and this is a theme, and this is part of the reason I'm taking the time to go through it now, I've wrote some of this down. Individuality in the House of Windsor leads to destruction. And he describes, because he was, of course, private secretary to David when he was the king for like 5 seconds. And
they love comparing things to the abdication. It's really
they
funny.
They do. But he's like, it was rot in the small things. Mm-hmm. It was, these little decisions. Like, I'm going to use Buckingham Palace for work, and then I'm going to go and
live in York House.
Live in York House. And
attending church. He wanted to sell Sandringham. He dismissed courtiers who served under his father in favor of younger people. And right. So basically,
it's the ego.
Yeah. And Elizabeth says that she wants to feel like she has an ally. And basically Tom is just like, well, the rightful heir is Michael, but you get the final say. And then she just storms off. And basically the queen summons Mr. Colville, who's her former private secretary who works for Winston now and was a part of the discussions on whether or not to tell the queen. She mentions when he comes in, she mentions that they have a mutual trust that they share. And is about to ask him about the secretary debate, but he thinks that what? You're waving your hands around, I know.
I'm waving my hands because the actor who plays Mr. Colville, in my opinion, should play the mature Charles. He looks so much
like... He does look like a mature Charles. But too late now.
Casting for season 5, that guy would be a better choice.
You didn't like Dominic West, though?
I like Dominic West as an actor. I don't like him in that role. I don't.
I think
we're going to talk about it later.
Regardless, that was very important.
Was because we don't see this actor very much. And so when else am I going to
talk
about
it? I don't think we ever see him again. But
so there you go.
Okay. But basically, she's about to ask him about the secretary debate, but he thinks that she's talking about the strokes and apologizes to her for not telling her and how he was advised against it. And he wanted to tell her, especially after the second one. And she's like, the second what? And he's like, stroke. And she's like, and who advised against this? And he's just like, Salisbury. And of course the prime minister when he was conscious. And she's just like, oh. And she's like, wasn't that what you wanted to talk to me about? And she's just like, oh no, I was going to ask you who should be my private secretary, but this is more important.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's clearly like, how in the fuck do I deal with this? You know, this is constitutional crisis material, right?
Oh, absolutely. And she tells her private tutor about the situation. He's just like, no, he did not. And it's like a little gossip session.
And the tutor asks her, what are you going to do? And she's like, I will do nothing and stay silent. He's like, hang on. You have some duties and responsibilities here. And it is not crossing the line for you to do something.
Mm-hmm. And she says she feels like she can't just confront them and lecture them like children because they are smarter than her. And she thinks that they would out debate her. But she needs to brush up on her education. But the teacher's like, just, you know, the Constitution better than anybody. It has prepared you for this. You are ready to like dress them down because this is a constitutional matter. And he says, and I quote, summon them and give them a dressing down like children. And she said, why would they stand for that? And he says, because they're English, male, and upper class. A good dressing down from nanny is what they all want in life.
Exactly. That is just like the best line in this whole episode.
I disagree because at the end of the episode, it's great.
Well, you're right. I'm sorry. But this is one of the best lines of this entire
It's great. Episode. I love the tutor. I wish he was around more.
I do too. So
him and Elizabeth have this great rapport. I love it.
And so the tome that is the most important on the issue of constitutional monarchy in England is Bagehot's, I guess. And so she wants her notes from when she had been studying. And so she's like, where am I freaking
notes? That we saw in the flashback.
Right. And so they do this enormous, they overturn like four palaces looking for her notes.
She's like, it could be here. It could be in Sandringham. It could be at Balmoral. It could be.
Right. And so the staff hunts it down and they find it. And you see that she calls in
Salisbury.
And my note, it's Churchill in Salisbury, but I wrote him down as Lord Cover-Up. And she's like, you guys
are going to Salisbury steak. Honestly, that's what I kept thinking.
Right. So, and apparently, and for those who have not been paying attention to English monarchy or English nobility at all, the family name is not necessarily it's definitely generally not the name that goes with the title. So Lord Salisbury's last name is not Salisbury.
I know, but I find it funny.
Right. No. My point comes up in a couple of minutes.
I know what line you're talking about. We'll get there. Right, but she basically summons.
I get to talk some too.
I know you do. Go ahead.
Podcast. That
right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Fine. I'm letting you talk.
Thanks. That's helpful. So she calls them in. She calls Salisbury in first. And her performance is clear.
What I wanted to say was it's basically she's making the prime minister wait like he's waiting outside the principal's office. That was the comment I was going to say, but go ahead.
Right. They put him on a chair. It's like, here, sit there, buddy. And she calls in Salisbury first. And she basically tells him, like, you know, my father always said to never trust a Cecil, which I guess this is real last name. I thought it was unfair. Perhaps not. You're dismissed. And you can see him being, it's like a slap in the face to him. Like, look, this is, she basically says it. She's like, this is borderline treason, what you've done.
And it is.
And you need to, like, you're just done. Bye. She calls in Churchill. And her tone is a bit softer with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it is not unreasonable. When she talks about the whole constitutional monarchy setup, it is not unreasonable to expect the prime minister to be of sound body and mind. And she talks about the betrayal. But I love this. Like, she makes him wait while she goes to get her notes.
It looks like he's about to cry.
Right. She goes to get her notes and she comes back and she reads them.
I also would like to note that the person who did write in them, great penmanship.
Oh yeah, that is true. Absolutely. But you think about that penmanship was a very, very important thing.
Well, she learned that after French. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. Or during French. She asks Churchill if he is okay. And you know, are you gonna be all right to do this? Are you in a position where you could actually do the job, because Anthony Eden's not. So I gotta have somebody. And he says, you know, look, I believe I can do this, but I have done the number one thing that I intended to do, which was I've discharged my duty because you, and you've proven it to me here, are now ready to handle this. But one of the things, and when she's asking this question, she says, do not answer me based upon my gender or age.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she knows that she's being mollycoddled. She knows that they are managing her because they think she's just a young girl, right? Like, stop patronizing me, fucktards. I'm the queen, is more or less what she's saying.
Basically, in so many words. So yeah, that's that. I would, since you got to do that scene, I'd like to do this scene, because I wrote down basically every line of dialogue from the scene, and I would like to
share. There's a lot in this scene. Go ahead.
There's a lot, and I wrote down all of it. I don't know. I think it was the coffee, but still. Okay. Philip is back from a charity cricket match, and he did some flying with barrel rolls without cabinet approval. Don't tell anyone. and he thinks that there's still a state banquet that night, and he wasn't told it was canceled. And he's like, why does nobody tell me anything?
He's all dressed up. He looks amazing.
He looks great. And she's just like, well, if you were here more, maybe you'd know. And then he's like, well, I read two books on Eisenhower especially. And she's like, have you really? And he's like, no. and then, he says, you look nice. And she's like, do I? And he says, yes, something's different. And she's like, I advise you to choose your next words very carefully. And he's like, taller, you look taller, or somehow shrunk. And she says, there's nothing shrunk about you, dearest. And she basically, she mentions she has a meeting with her new private secretary. We don't know who that is yet. But Philip wants her to cancel it and do other stuff, proceeds to take off jacket. And he says, two options. Either I get stilts so I can reach the heights of my new tall woman. And she's like, or, and he's like, or you could get on your knees. And with his smirk, smile, it's perfect, so good.
It's so perfect.
And we find out that the queen chose Michael Adeen, and he has to wait until tomorrow for their appointment.
Yes, no, it will be tomorrow. It's not going to be later. It'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I do love, again, it is the Claire Foy, Matt Smith dynamic that
I was just waiting for Philip to come in, because I think in every episode, he's in every episode in the season, and I'm just like, where is he? We have to have a little Philip thing.
Right. And that's the thing about Matt Smith as an actor. He brings so much to it. And I'm saying that because I just watched House of the Dragon, as I've mentioned before. And the episodes where he doesn't appear, it's like, ugh.
You feel it.
Yeah, we're just waiting for Matt Smith to appear. Where's Matt Smith?
So that's the end of the episode.
That was the end of the episode. So how did you grade this episode?
What about best part, worst part?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was your best part of this episode?
I have two things. Philip and Elizabeth's talk, because I love it. And just Elizabeth in general, I think that her taking initiative and getting a tutor and preparing and making her feel more confident in herself, and her dressing down those stuffy politicians who had strokes and kept them from her and bullshit. I think that it was, I really love Elizabeth in this episode. I think that she really showcases how she can make her own decisions while at the same time adhering to tradition with Michael Adeen and making sure that everyone, things stay in order, because Martin's still going to be around. Martin can always help out when he's needed. You see that in the next episode, he's helping out, but it's just kind of like, yes, he's not going to be the private secretary, but he's going to be there. And so as long as you have something that will show stability, why not just keep Michael Adeen? And who knows, maybe he's great. So whatever. What about you?
I agree, actually. I think with most of what you said, I agree 100% that, you know, the whole Elizabeth Philip dynamic is always great in this season, or these two seasons, actually, in many of the seasons. And it's the reason that you keep watching, one of the reasons I keep watching. And I do think that her growth into the role and how they have portrayed that I think is really remarkable. And again, you know, we talk about the disrespect toward the Queen Mother, but they show a lot of respect to the Queen by showing her overcoming things and overcoming, you know, the limitations of her education, I think is a major, major thing. So I love that. But I, again, the dressing down from Nanny thing, that is just priceless. Okay.
Yeah. I would also like to add Elizabeth and the tutor. I really like.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do too. What was your worst part?
The prime minister and everyone keeping stuff from the queen for no goddamn reason. And also maybe Martin's wife, because I think that that's just a stupid reason to get caught. I think that her just being like, well, take care of that tree now. It's like, you can do that later. Also, this is not your property yet. Like, don't get started on that.
It's so pretentious. But yeah, my worst parts, obviously everything involving Winston and the cover-up is just horrific to me. I mean, I just can't even imagine doing that. And it's awful. But I also really disliked not just, you know, the Queen Mother and her defense of this limiting education thing, but also the way they portray her.
I really don't like how they portray her.
I really don't either. And I don't know. I feel like they're kind of giving a slap to the ignorance of that age.
Well, you can do that without her being portrayed as dumb.
Correct. I agree.
I feel like they should have taken more care with that and more nuance with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. So how'd you grade this episode?
I gave it an A. I really like this episode. I think that there's a lot of good humor. I think that the, I don't know. I just think almost every character is on their A game in this episode. I think I don't know. I just find it endlessly entertaining. So.
Right. I would give this episode an A. And part of the reason that I would give it an A is that it's got, you know, that line about getting a dressing down from Nanny is something I've remembered over 5 seasons. Yeah. You know, I love that line. And I'd forgotten the
he's male, line. He's English male and of the upper class.
Right. Exactly. But I had forgotten which episode the line about
on your knees
about on your knees came from.
I forgot that, which episode.
The fact that they're both in there is really pretty awesome. Again, yeah, I remembered that from the dynamic between them, but I couldn't place when that had been that vignette had occurred in the show, and so in my mind that wasn't part of it, but it definitely is, having just rewatched it. So yeah, I loved this episode. I really did. All right. And so we are going to be proceeding with season 1, episode 8 of The Crown. And again, you know, these episodes have been super solid, and I'm really looking forward to sharing what we're seeing in this first season. So please tune in. Join us and
cheers.